Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. Unfortunately, I don't have my OGs with me today, so I'll be going solo. However, I do have a request to watch and react to a video. So recently, I was speaking to a bunch of secretaries here in the state of Utah, but not just any secretaries, secretaries that work for schools. And if you know any secretaries that work for schools, they're kind of like the gatekeeper. They're kind of like the bridge to get anything done. People need the secretaries at the schools because they know where everything's at, and they kind of are the glue that keeps everything together. So the secretary, she reached out to me. She said, "Hey, thank you so much for you and Kenneth to come out and speak to us. We really appreciate everything you guys talked about. I was wondering if you could listen to this video and give a reaction on it. Because recently at this event, I've been telling people I want to answer their questions, any videos, anything they want me to react to. So since I got this one, I said, okay, I'll check it out. I don't know what's on the video, but I do know the guy's name is Simon Sinek. And I know he's had lots of other good videos out there. But the reason why I chose to do this because she told me how much social health and what she learned about in our presentation really hit home for her. She said in her own family, her husband, she has a job. He has a job. And at his job, he doesn't really get his dues. Like, they don't really respect him because he's like the most loyal, trustworthy person at the job. And so she thought I could weigh in on from a social health perspective, how I would talk about social health using this video and if I even agree with what this guy has to say. So let's go ahead and jump into the video by Simon Sinek and about leadership and work performance. And let's give it a shot, see what happens.
So I've worked with the Navy SEALs. And I asked them, like, how do you pick, like, the guys that go on SEAL Team 6, right? Because they're the best of the best of the best of the best. And they drew a graph for me. And on one side, they wrote the word performance, and on the other side, they wrote the word trust. The way they define the terms is performance on the battlefield and performance off the battlefield. So this is your skills. This is, did you make your quarterly earnings, whatever, however you want to translate it, right? Performance. It's traditional. This is, how are you off the battlefield? What kind of person are you? The way they put it is, I may trust you with my life, but do I trust you with my money and my wife? They're SEALs. This is what they told me. Nobody wants this person, the low performer of low trust, of course. Of course, everybody wants this person, the high performer of high trust, of course. What they learned is that this person, the high performer of low trust, is a toxic leader and a toxic team member. And they would rather have a medium performer of high trust, sometimes even a low performer of high trust, it's a relative scale, over this person. This is the highest performing organization on the planet, and this person is more important than this person. And the problem in business is we have lopsided metrics. We have a million and one metrics to measure someone's performance and negligible to no metrics to measure someone's trustworthiness. And so what we end up doing is promoting or bonusing toxicity in our businesses, which is bad for the long game because it eventually destroys the whole organization. The irony is it's unbelievably easy to find these people. Go to any team and say, who's the asshole? And they'll... They will all point to the same person. Equally, if you go to any team and say, who do you trust more than anybody else? Who's always got your back? And when the chips are down, they will be there with you. They will also all point to the same person. It's the best gifted natural leader who's creating an environment for everybody else to succeed, and they may not be your most individual highest performer. But that person, you better keep them on your team.
Right, so that's the video from Simon Sinek, and he did not disappoint. Every video I've ever seen from him, he just kind of makes some complex things pretty simple. And I had a lot of thoughts while listening to this video. So as you've watched this video, you can see, and if you're listening to this on the podcast, please go to our YouTube channel and check it out so you can actually see the video yourself. But a couple things came to my mind. So when he was talking about the Navy SEALs, how they'll put people in two different categories, a performer, like performance over here on the one side, and then trustworthiness or a trustful person. And it made me think, because a lot of times the people that we trust with our deep personal information at work, meaning that one manager, that one coworker that we know is going to keep it between just us and them, or maybe it's a different type of trust. Maybe that if they give you their word, they're going to follow through with it. Those basic fundamental things, whenever you think about a relationship, everybody knows in an intimate relationship, it's the little things that matter the most. I think that's kind of what he's saying. Trustworthiness and being a trustworthy person and being a trustful person, even though we all know those are huge in any relationship, sometimes in business, it's easy to get focused on the numbers because everybody knows the numbers do not lie. But like he said in the video, there's not really a good way to measure if someone's trustworthy. He encourages companies to not promote people who are high performers with low trustworthiness, because those people tend to be a cancer, or, you know, basically saying they're kind of evil for the company, meaning they're going to destroy the company or they're going to cause more problems in the company than they are going to be able to help the company. When I first heard about that, I thought of a friend of mine who made a lot of money in pharmaceutical sales. In fact, he was like the top person in this big pharmaceutical sales company. This was like 20 years ago. And I remember we were just at the beach hanging out. We're about to go surf one day. And he was complaining to me, telling me how he's the number one sales guy in this big company. He's making millions of dollars. And he said that they were completely changing his pay structure, and they were trying to move him out of his position so that he wouldn't make as much money. And he said that the people above him were very jealous because he made a lot more money than they did. And so the reason why they're trying to push him out of his sales job or try to change his commission structure is because they were jealous. Well, around the same time, I had another friend who also worked in pharmaceutical sales. I'm not joking. As a former athlete, you'll find out that pharmaceutical sales companies, they really like Division I or any type of college athletes, because they want people who are go-getters and hard workers to be a part of their organization and with the confidence to stand in front of people and talk to them. And athletes usually have a lot of those characteristics and traits. Well, out of my two friends that both had a very similar situation, the one friend, the very first friend I was telling you about, he was very cocky, arrogant, and some might even say narcissistic. Well, the three girls that I knew him, they both called him narcissistic. And he doesn't know who this is. Maybe if he listens to it, I'm not saying his name. I would have to agree with his three girlfriends. I didn't have to date him, so I didn't have to worry about that. He was just my friend. We weren't even that close friends, but we're friends, surf buddies, right? And so this guy, hugest house on the block, super, super, super rich. Now, my other buddy, he was a little bit younger, also he was a college athlete, very successful. Now, they were trying to move him into a different position, out of sales, but not because they wanted him to make less money, because they thought he was more valuable in a position that had more overall influence over the company. So they wanted to give him a bigger position. Now, this position, he would make about the same amount of money on average, but he wouldn't get the big bonuses, nothing like that. The reason why I bring this up is the first guy that no one really liked him, he fell in that category of he was the high performer, but he was not very trustworthy. In fact, he made the mistake, well, he didn't probably realize he made the mistake at the time. He made the mistake of confessing to me and saying, they're just mad because I never come into work. And this was before Zoom, before you could work from home. I never come into work. I only stay with my top clients, and I give them everything they need, and they just happen to buy a lot of our products. And so I've got it worked out to, I can go on vacations, I can hang out, I don't have to work that much, and I'm still top performer, if at worst, number two in the company. And he goes, that's why they didn't like it. Well, what he really was telling me is that he wasn't trustworthy. They couldn't trust that he'd be at any meetings. He really didn't have the whole entire company's growth, you know, in mind. Now, my other friend, he was the complete opposite. Not only was he not narcissistic, he was actually really high performer at sales because he was so trustworthy. Every single one of his clients, he'd tell me that they were like, hey, if you ever leave this company, we will follow you wherever you go. He built long relationships with people. Well, I should say in-depth, deep relationships with people when he had you know, hadn't been working there for as long as the first guy. He'd been working there a while, but he made those relationships pretty quickly. They got close to each other, and he was there at the company every time they had meetings. He wasn't too good to go to the meetings. He wasn't too good to give his feedback. In fact, he was very trustworthy. So I bring up both these guys because one really was able to perform at a high level because he was so trusting, and the other person was able to perform at a high level because he was such a dog. He was just so intense, and he was just going to outwork everybody. But it was pretty obvious that he was very self-centered and he wasn't a team guy. I want to let you guys know from my experience, and hopefully you can think in your experiences at work as well. When someone is trusting, when you believe in someone, when they put all their wealth in their reputation, when they see themselves as being a person of high moral character, they want people to know that their word is bond, that they will do things just off of a handshake, and if they don't do them, they'll come back with a sincere apology. I want you to know that if you are a trustworthy person in your company, and your company sees that you're trustworthy and they value that, it will magnify all your talents. My one buddy, the second guy I was referring to, who his company offered him the steady job, he actually took it. The reason why he took it, because even though he was very successful at sales, he felt like being in sales, he was disconnected from the company. And because he was doing so good, he didn't want people to dislike him. He didn't want people to be envious or jealous. He was worried about what all of his other coworkers thought. The other guy, my first buddy, he didn't give a damn about what people thought about him. He was like, they can all go kick rocks. They're just jealous. Or the second guy, he's like, no, this is like my second home. I spend more time with these people than anything else. So he took the job, more of an executive role. He was able to use all of his years of sales experience, because he was over the sales team in this executive role, to help them build their sales force on the ground up. And he said one thing that I'll never forget. He goes, the best thing that makes a good salesperson isn't how good they can talk. It isn't how good looking they are. It isn't what type of car that they drive. It is a person that simply does what they say they're going to do. Now, other people can argue and say, well, what if you say you're going to do something, you do it, but it's not good for the customer? That's not good. But what my friend was referring to, he's saying if he tells someone that he's going to be at a meeting, if he tells a client that, you know, he's going to fix a problem because the company screwed it up, even though it's not his job to fix it, he's going to go fix it, he would fix it. He spent more of his time after hours helping his customers, his clients, helping the company when he wasn't getting paid for it, that the company said, we're going to give you this position and the bonus to the position, because, you know, he wasn't going to get any sales bonuses. As he said, if the whole entire company at the end of each year, if they make over a certain amount of money, he's going to get a percentage of that. So he got to cut in on the big entire piece of the pie. I haven't talked to him in recent years, but the last time I ran into him when I was back home, he looked like he was doing better than good. Now, my other buddy, on the other hand, I ran into him probably about 8 years ago. He probably should have wore a lot more sunscreen in his surfing days, let's put it that way. He's wrinkled up, does not look good, is not healthy. He's been through two more divorces since I met him. When I met him, he'd already gone through two divorces, been through two divorces since then. I'm kind of assuming it had something to do with his personality type, him being a little bit on that narcissistic side. And when I was watching this video, it just made me think, you guys, if you put relationships as a priority, then that means you put your reputation as the priority. You care what other people think about you. And whenever I hear someone say, especially in business, well, you know, I don't care what other people think about me, I'm just going to do my own thing. I hope what they mean by that is they're not going to care so much about what everybody thinks about them that they're going to lose sleep about it all the time and they're going to be super paranoid and anxious. I hope what they're, I just really hope it's not that self-centered, like I don't care about anybody, it's all for myself. Like I really do not care about the team. The leaders that I've known that I respect and I look up to, they were the leaders that when they were talking, when they were acting, I was watching very closely to see how they handled stressful situations. And I can tell you, I never had to take notes of these people, men and women, showing what it was like to be articulate, to be kind, caring, to listen to someone that they probably didn't have the time to listen to them, but they knew if they just stopped the conversation, walked away from that person, it was going to ruin their reputation or cause a person to feel like, you know, they weren't being appreciated. So when I look for leaders to model myself after, when I look for leaders that I want to pick up things from, I'm always looking for leaders that put relationships first. And if they put relationships first, they're going to value their reputation. Now, if people are going to throw shade on them and be critical of them in unfair ways, you know, they're going to have to be able to take that criticism. I know for myself, and I think for most people out there, if you care about what other people think about you, which you should care about what other people think about you, then you're going to be more cautious and careful with your words. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't say what you think or feel. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be assertive. You just don't want to be so assertive and so direct with people that it causes unnecessary confrontation. So after watching this video, my overall synopsis, my overall belief about how this video can help anyone out there who's in a hiring situation is very simple. If people know you have their back, and if people know that they can trust you, people will share with you all the most important information. If you want to be a great leader, get the trusting reputation with everyone around you long before you're a leader. The best companies will identify that skill, even though they don't have a way to measure it. They will just know that when you're at work, people do better. When you're not at work, there's more chaos, there's more drama. You will climb your way up the charts or up the ladder of all the best companies. If you're working for a company that only rewards the highest performers and they do not reward the people who are trustworthy and able to perform well, that was another thing he said in the video. He said most companies would rather have people of a high trust level and a low performance level than they would with someone with a high performance level and a low trust level. And I believe the reason why people would rather have that is because they didn't say someone that performed badly. They just said a low performance. Low performance doesn't mean that someone's not capable of it. Low performance means that for whatever reason, they don't have that same tenacity. Maybe they're lacking some sort of training. I'd rather as well work with someone who I trust, who I can communicate with easily. Because like I said in the very beginning, in any close intimate relationship, in a dating or marriage type relationship or a best friend relationship, trustworthiness and being trusting is the most important thing. I can testify in a court of law. I have not strategically went out and tried to find the smartest people of the male species to become friends with. That is not my friend group. My friend group are not the brightest bulbs on the tree. I love you guys, but you're my boys. You're not my professors, right? These are guys that I have in my life because I trust them and they trust me. I don't have them in my life because they're the smartest, the most articulate, because they're the best at writing poetry or whatever it is. I have them in my life because I know that they're not going to go anywhere, that they're going to accept me for who I am and I'm going to accept them for who they are. So if you're a person that wants to climb up the leadership ladder, I would definitely take the advice of Simon Sinek. And as far as connecting it to social health, for those of you that don't know the definition of social health, it's very easy. Social health is one's ability to build, maintain, and improve mutually beneficial relationships or mutually benefiting relationships in all the following categories, but not limited to family, friends, online relationships, peer relationships, coworkers, your environment, because obviously you're going to have, you know, different relationships. You're going to act different and behave differently depending upon your environment, relationship with technology, and last but most importantly, the relationship with yourself. So if you want to improve up the ladder of a company that you want to work with, you got to be trustworthy. You got to work hard. But I see it as if someone's trustworthy, you could teach them the job better. You can give them training to get their talents up higher. But if you got a snake in the grass and you got a person that's all about themselves, they're going to lie, cheat, and steal, or at least they're most likely going to do whatever it takes to win because they're more focused on winning instead of having everybody win together. All right, you guys, as always, you can follow me on all social media platforms. You can follow us on Instagram at og.therapy. You can follow me at David_KOZLOWSKI. We've got a YouTube channel under OG Therapy. We've got a TikTok channel as well under OG Therapy Podcast, but you can find it under my name, David Kozlowski, KOZLOWSKI. And of course, on YouTube, we got lots of stuff like even have nothing to do with the podcast. Got my TED Talk up on YouTube. So if you want to check that out. And in the very near future, before you know it, we're going to have some other things for you to look at as far as content. But for now, you guys, just remember, whenever you're stressed, whenever you're struggling, You don't have to go through it alone. You can press play, listen to your OGs, or just go talk to the OGs in your own life. Even though I'm a therapist, I'm not acting as your therapist, and sometimes the best therapist is your best friend, your neighbor, your uncle, your aunt, a coach, an old mentor. So reach out to the people in your life and tell me what you think about this video. And if you agree with what Simon Sinek said about leadership is not about performance and not being trustworthy, it's quite the opposite. It's about being trustworthy, and your performance is going to grow if people trust you. So until next time, be cool.
Of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.